CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yeah, if you're feeling very brave, that 80s show. Because, you know, between Barrett and Dory and Paolo and company, you're going to have a lot of fun. But they do like their cheesy 80s music. Oh, my goodness. Do they like that? So, all right.
You should see it. You've never been around, but you should see Simpiwa and Barrett go head on about how Simpiwa always makes fun of Barrett about his one-hit wonders.
Well, listen.
Everyone on that 80s show is like a one-hit wonder. You only know one song.
Bakabantu, if you listen to that show, and you'll meet people that they're interviewing people who haven't been interviewed for like 20 years, right? So these people are super excited to be interviewed again because no one's asked them a question for years. I mean, listen, some of them are huge stars. I was saying to Barrett the other day, you know, the last time that I heard some of these names was when they were the biggest thing in the world. They were like huge, huge, huge. And now he's talking to them like they're friends. He's got their numbers on, you know, WhatsApps.
He's like, okay, no, I'm WhatsApping Kim Mazzell right now.
Dude, it's a different world. All right, a couple of cool screenshots people have sent me over the weekend. This was an actual headline on TV. Look at this. Trans inmate impregnates two inmates at all-women's prison. There's a picture of this trans inmate who doesn't even look like he's really trying to be trans. I mean, he's like, he looks like he's maybe grown his hair a little bit, and that's all. But surely this really does not help the whole trans agenda. You know, if I were a trans person and I were trying to get people to take the whole trans thing seriously and this happened, I would be protesting outside that prison. I'd be saying, you know what? This person is not trans. They're taking the piss. They're humiliating all of us. Because let's say, for example, you are complaining that, let's say you're advocating on behalf of people who have been arrested illegally. Okay, let's say you're one of those activists who's like, don't put people in prison if they haven't done anything wrong. And then someone gets put in prison because they haven't done anything wrong. You've got to be there protesting, and you've got to stand up for your people. And if someone does do something wrong, you say, oh, well, sorry, not our problem. We're not involved with that person. Why are the trans activists not outside this jail saying, this is not one of us. This person is not one of us. They can't be for real. You cannot possibly be a trans person who then goes ahead and impregnates two women at an all-women's prison. We don't take you seriously. You're taking the piss out of the whole trans agenda, surely.
I try to take these things seriously. It's like the guy who went from
really
being ranked 200.
Hard, yeah.
It's like a guy who went from being ranked 200 and something in swimming, I think, and then he's beating the women in women's competitive swimming. He's breaking all the records and whatnot. So it's like stuff like that where you're like, I don't know. You barely try. Also, the bar is set pretty low. Right. I'm not trans, so I don't know what the bar is.
I don't know what they feel inside,
but they just say I identify and then I'm a woman. I don't know, because that dude is, if he's impregnating people, a man impregnates women.
Someone sent me this screenshot of something on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Is that still going? The Ellen DeGeneres show? Is that still a thing?
Didn't Ellen get canceled for not being nice? She was like mean backstage.
Yeah, I thought she was. I thought she was horrible to her staff, and she's been canceled. But here's a picture from the Ellen show of that actress. She's a famous Michelle something or another. She was in, what is her name?
She's in This Is Us.
That's correct. This Is Us.
Yeah.
You can see the thing on the background. Now, she is enormous. I mean, it looks like, and it looks like one of those chocolate Easter bunnies. But it's just.
But she's not hollow
it's
inside.
No, she's not hollow inside. It's one big Easter egg with a little Easter egg on the top that's the head and two little Easter eggs at the bottom of the legs. You can't be this size and go on TV. I'm sorry, it's disgusting. It's absolutely unacceptable that someone can be so fat and think that they're a star. It's outrageous. Get her off the TV. It's outrageous. You can't be so fat. It's disgusting. So someone sent me that screenshot. Someone sent me the one of the trans person. Here's another one that's quite funny. It's someone complaining on Facebook on a group called DIY on a Budget. And they say, my front entrance, it's a woman, is quite dark. What can I do to lighten it up and make it look more inviting? And then a guy called George says, shave it. There's no fucking around there. Now, here's another good one. A big billboard for PETA, which is, you know, the people who are there for the ethical treatment of animals, people for the ethical treatment of animals. And they've got a billboard with cats and dogs and bunnies and then horses and cows and ducks and chickens. And they say, all animals want to live. Where do you draw the line? And someone has drawn the line between the horse and the chicken and said, this is where I draw the line, Peter. Thanks for asking. And the person's name is Carnivore Aurelius.
I have this running joke with one of my friends, Gareth, with, let's say we entertained the vegans, you know, like the cultist vegans that don't kill the cow, it has feelings and whatnot. Let's let the cows run free because cows don't have a natural predator. Like, what happens for like just 1 year? Let's let the cows run free, let them reprocreate and whatnot. Just remove everything, every human interference. I think they'll overrun us.
You think we're under threat from cows?
No, not like in that sense. But like they'll finish up the space. They'll be shitting everywhere. Like, let's let the animals run wild as like the vegans want. Well, what's the plan there? If we don't kill the cows and eat them, isn't that a better use for their existence? I don't know.
I'm not sure this is an argument I want to have first thing in the morning, but I will say this. Just leave the carnivores alone, because the carnivores aren't bothering you and you're not going to end all meat eating. No one is going to end that. There are parts of this world where all they eat is meat. Forget about it.
I've seen that on the internet, the carnivore diet.
Yeah. Right.
Like where you just eat meat and apparently it's like super healthy and whatnot.
Oh, that's what they say. Anyway,
yeah.
So Elon is God says on the trans thing, if I were to be arrested, I'd identify as a transformer too. I don't want to get in touch. I don't want to get touched in prison. Yeah, exactly. That's how you get in. And as a guy, you get into a women's prison, which is obviously much easier and much better for you as a guy than in the guy's prison.
As a guy, yeah. Yeah. But like trans people and the trans community, I get why the normal alphabet community doesn't regard trans, because they're the new it thing now, right? The trans people, there's a line there. There's a line where it starts discriminating against women, starts invalidating also like the women accomplishments and whatnot. Even our own intelligence to a certain degree. There's this lady, Fallon Fox, or guy, I don't know what she identifies as, but she went into an MMA fight beating up women, and then she was a champion. And then people were like, I think Joe Rogan got in trouble for pointing it out. It's like, there's something suspicious about this person. A few years later, documents leak. She was a guy. You can't spend puberty growing up as a man. Yeah. And then you decide, I'm just a woman now. Let me go beat up ladies.
It's also, I mean, what are you saying about women? You know, you don't have any respect for women. The interesting thing that's going to happen over the next few years, and it's funny how this trans thing keeps coming up. I think the reason it bothers me is not because I care about what people identify as. That's entirely okay. You identify whatever you want. If you want to identify as a vacuum cleaner, you go for it. It's none of my business. I could care less. And I'm not going to ask you unless I find you interesting enough. And chances are I probably won't. But if you want to identify as something, go for it. What bothers me, and I think what bothers so many people about this whole trans thing, is that it seems to fly in the face of truth. Like, there's a basic honesty that's being left out of this. It's like someone wants you to believe what is clearly, I mean, you look at that picture, that trans woman who was put in a women's prison. That's a man. That swimmer the other day, it's a man. They're clearly using the system that is being tolerant and accepting and inclusive for bad purposes. They're lying to us. And that's what bothers me, I think. That's what's getting me about the whole thing. That's why I can't just let it go. And when these stories come up, it scratches at what reality is meant to look like, right?
Yeah, and I think the community should also take this to heart, because like this acceptance of everything, like the LGBTQI plus community. How did I get that right?
I think so. It doesn't matter.
But yeah, but they should, because this is mockery of what they stand for.
Right.
This is a mockery of acceptance.
Again,
this is taking something and taking it to the extreme so far that now I'm forced to overcorrect. You get people where it's like when you push back now, it's like you hate everything, but this is tolerance pushed to the brink and it breaks.
I don't understand why there aren't more people in the LGBTQIA community
calling these people out.
Who aren't saying, listen, hang on, we're not all morons here. We're actually quite a sensible group. Some of us have fought hard for our rights, you know? Some of us have put our own happiness second to fighting for the others who will come after us. Like the civil rights organizations in America did for black rights in the 1960s. You know, they put themselves second. They basically said, listen, our brothers and sisters in the South are being treated as second-class citizens. We're not going to stand for that anymore. Like, there was something noble and honorable about that. Like, where are the L's and the G's and the B's and the T's who are saying, actually, this is bullshit, this man in the woman's prison, this man competing with women in sport, this guy with a beard who wants me to call him her. Like, these people are making a mockery of those of us who have actually
who really identify as
and who've really and who fought hard, not just for ourselves but for others. It's like they're making you seem like a bunch of idiots. They're making the alphabet people, someone here called them the alphabet people just now. Now, if you were in that alphabet group, let's say you're a lesbian and you're a feminist lesbian who spent your life fighting against, you know, male dominance of certain things in the world. And you feel like you've done some incredible sacrificing in order to get yourself and other lesbians ahead. And you've gone to the meetings, you've gone to the protests, you've actually got involved in, you know, companies where they had discriminatory policies and all kinds of things. You've made some serious waves, you've made a difference. And then these guys come along and there's a guy with a dress on who hasn't even bothered to shave his beard off, and he wants to now participate against 18-year-old girls in wrestling, and he's this big. And you're like, sure, that guy's part of our group. Yeah, we'll let him in. He's a complete disgrace, and he makes everybody look ridiculous, but we'll let him in. That's not solidarity. That's stupidity. That's undermining your own position. Anyway, let's leave that alone. There's some other funny comments coming in. And by the way, a lot of people said some very funny things earlier about the Brazilians with their Viagra that they're giving to their troops. So turns out Bolsonaro and his government have given 40,000 or 30,000 Viagra pills to people in the Air Force and the Army. And Carl says, these Brazilians are hardened criminals. Sanile says, hard to crack a Brazilian nut flaccid. Lots and lots of people with funny stuff. You guys are funny. You're funny. You're being funny. Most of us vegans, says Jared, don't agree with Peter. They're a bad voice for a group that just want to do as little harm as possible. Yeah, but you see, again, even that bunch, like Peter, have turned into this lunatic asylum. They used to be very, very good people, like the SPCA or, you know, any other animal rights activists. My sister's an animal rights activist, so I'm sympathetic. But they've become these crazy people who, like, pour paint tins on anybody who's wearing a fur coat. They're not even sure whether the fur coat's real or not. They just cover people in paint, and they damage property, and they swear and yell and curse and scream like banshees. How are you going to take those people seriously? You know, they're again undermining their own position.
Exactly. No, there's a certain element where you need to recognize that in order for you to take yourself seriously, you need to take yourself seriously. Like, for someone to take you seriously, you need to take yourself seriously. And if I was a vegan, and that whole, there's, because even my general stereotype of veganism is based on that. It's based on that Peter, like, oh, you're a killer. You're killing animals. Where would you draw the line and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It puts you guys in bad form.
That's why so many vegans, your default setting for a vegan is like this crazy person.
instead to roll your eyes and be like, oh.
Yeah. Instead of a perfectly normal, perfectly sane person who lives next door to you, who just happens to have a different opinion about what they eat and what you should maybe eat. And you could sit down and have a conversation with that person. Instead, in your mind, when I say vegan, what do you see? You see like a blue haired, multiple piercing, face tattoo, overweight lesbian screaming at you and spitting in your face because you're having a hamburger. That's what you see in your head, and it's just not right. I mean, that's not what most animal activists are. Suppose that is true for any group, though. You always think of the extremists. You know, there probably were people who used to think about civil rights activists in the United States. They're all like Malcolm X, you know, or they're all like Black Panthers or whatever. And that's not true.
Oh, there's this funny bit in this show I was watching, Godfather of Harlem with Malcolm X. Mm. He runs into white supremacists. And then the guy is like, oh, hi, Malcolm. Malcolm's like, hey, dude, you're white. Like, we don't do like that. And then the guy's like, no, we support the same thing. You're a white supremacist. I mean, you're a black supremacist. I'm a white supremacist. We both think our races are superior. We have something in common.
And they knew who he was, and they were like, yo, like sees like.
Like sees like. And then Malcolm, I think it's one of the first times, I don't know if it happened in real life, but in that story, he reflects on, is his position really bad? Like, is he preaching hate and whatnot? That's when he starts re-looking and re-evaluating his position and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true, right? Any of these supremacists. I've been listening to an interesting podcast about Haiti and what happened in Haiti in the late 1700s, early 1800s with Toussaint, who was the main Haitian leader there, and a guy who rose from essentially being a slave to being the leader of the country. And it's a fascinating story because, you know, everybody talks about slavery and people all have these opinions about slavery. I wonder how many people have actually read the books or have listened to the podcast and paid attention to the facts. And it's a fascinating story. Like, you've got these mixed race people who were against the whites and the blacks. Then you've got the blacks, then you've got the whites, then you've got the educated slaves, the uneducated slaves. You've got what they called the big whites who owned the plantations and had the money. Then there were the small whites who were like these poor white people who really hated the blacks the most. And you've got the French government getting involved. You have the British, you have the Spanish. I mean, it's not so easy to understand. It's not like there were good guys and there were bad guys, you know, and the kinds of alliances that were made, like the big whites allied themselves with the mixed race people, the slaves, the uneducated slaves allied themselves with other uneducated slaves, and then they eventually got educated slaves to kind of lead the rebellion. But it's interesting also to look at like Port-au-Prince in the south, and then Port-Français in the north, and the different kinds of slaves that you had on sugar plantations, and you had slaves who used to drive carriages, you had slaves who used to do the translations, you had slaves who would run the households, and there were different levels of society for black and for white people. And sometimes the poor white people and the uneducated black slaves would ally together just to get rid of somebody they didn't like. I mean, it's amazing how complicated this stuff is. It wasn't straightforward.
That's something we also like, the complications, especially in slavery. White man bad, black guy good. I'm like, in Africa, you look back, the people who Africans had slaves, and they sold them to the colonists and to the Americans. Mm-hmm. So that's something we kind of forget.
No, a ship would dock off of Ghana, and then the actual chief of that village would say, all right, go and get from the neighboring village, we don't like them, go and basically set fire to their village, capture all the healthy women and men, and then we'll sell them to these slavers. And then that guy's sitting at home. He's got rid of an enemy next door, so you don't have to worry about them anymore. All their strong men and women are gone, you know. And he can take over their land. He can basically subsume any of the population he would like into his own tribe. And he makes a profit off the slave ships. And nobody talks about him. They're always like, well, those slavers just arrived, and, you know, these innocent men and women were just plucked out of the villages and just thrown onto the ship.
Yeah.
Someone put them on those ships, which is not great either for those people. Just have a look at this. Yeah. Another one quick screenshot, which is quite interesting. This is an excuse you can use. Police, woman claims wind blew drugs into her purse.
I hate it when it happens.
Who doesn't hate it when that happens? So if you get arrested with drugs, just claim the wind blew the drugs into your purse. That's a
inside the purse. Not even like, dude.
We've got to start a feature on the show of like crazy headlines that people actually put on TV.
All of them are going to come out of Florida, Gareth. Mm-hmm. All of them.
That's true.
If you Googled Florida, like Florida man right now, you would find something like that. Oh, I saw this. Okay, I read this article.
This is great. Let me just quickly take you to this one. This is fantastic. Eusebius McKaiser, who's everyone's favorite. In fact, I take that back. He's no one's favorite. He still has a gig, though. Apparently, he writes occasionally for Times Live. His story is, and he does this at Easter, okay? If you really, you have to be. And I used to be one of those people who used to like needling Christians and irritating people who are Muslims and driving Jews crazy because I would say belief in anything is stupid. And I just mentioned earlier how here we have a weekend where Pesach and Ramadan and Easter all fall for the first time in 30 years over the same few days. And what does Eusebius do with his time? He uses this time to write the following article. This is the headline. I was taught God exists. That is a lie. Here's why. He decides to take this opportunity to write on the holiest weekend for all three religions. He decides to take his time to write about how stupid religion is. Now, I'm not saying that I haven't made the same mistake at some point, and I'm not saying that I won't make mistakes again. But if that is your purpose, if the only thing you can do to get attention is to attack people over the time of the year where they...
It's a cheap shot.
It's such a cheap shot, man.
Yeah, he knows that's going to buzz, especially during that time of the year and whatnot. I actually read the article, Gareth, and it's terrible. I'm not a journalist. I'm not some kind of scholar of some kind, but the article is terrible. He kind of equates the KZN floods. If there was a God, the KZN floods wouldn't happen. I'm like, dude... Dude,
this is, but isn't this isn't this stuff also quite old now? I think
that's what I'm saying. You're not saying anything new. It's like if there was God, the crime wouldn't happen. It's just the bottom of the barrel.
I used to take massive personal pleasure and joy out of upsetting other people who genuinely believed certain things. It gave them meaning, gave them a purpose, gave them a reason to wake up in the morning. It was the center of how they considered their view of the universe. And I suddenly thought at some point, I don't know, thank God I grew up. I was like, well, what the hell do they care about my stupid opinion? And why do I think it's my job undermine or criticize their belief system? It just seems so... it's just mean. It comes out of a mean place. Like an unhappy person would do that. And I think I must have at some level been unhappy to have been doing this to other people. That I can see it now, and hopefully I can see it about other things that people have criticized me about, and I can hopefully correct before it becomes a problem. But I see it so clearly in other people because I've been there. I've been there. I've seen it. So,
but like That's the glory of youth, Gareth. You want to correct the problem world. Is, you feel like you're
Eusebius McKaiser. Eusebius McKaiser is hardly youth. I mean, he's definitely not young anymore. I don't know what that is. Unbelievable.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah, we all think our opinion matters to us.
Oh, yeah.
And then
maybe we get a couple of hundred rand for writing something for Times Live. How embarrassing. All right, it is time for us to get to Collectomania. But before we do that, health matters with Cipla. So over the last 2 years, everyone has been talking about the new normal. And what happens when we return to the old normal, which we're starting to do bit by bit? Health Matters mental health expert Johnny Cavey has joined Ryan O'Connor on the latest episode to help us navigate this. Find Health Matters on cliffcentral.com or get the podcast wherever you listen. It is brought to you by Cipla. That is Health Matters, the podcast series brought to you by Cipla. And you can find it on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, time to turn our attention to collections and collectomania, as every week is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And today we're going to do a post-Easter edition, which is all about bunnies and eggs. I kid you not, it's going to be lots of fun. But before we get to those, look at these coins. This is a limited edition coin, which the guys at the South African Gold Coin Exchange have sent us. They have all kinds of interesting coins, and you need to go and have a look at this, because if you haven't seen what they've got on offer, you're missing out big time. There's some really, really cool coins. This is a series called the Guy Savoy coin, and you can see they're from France, and it's worth 200 euros, this coin. It says, La cuisine est par du transformer instantement en joie des produits charge d'histoire. So it's all about creating these products which are about something in history. And they've got these beautiful, the French cockerel, which is, of course, an important part of what the French used to, it's one of their symbols. It's on their coat of arms. It's their national animal, in fact. And it says their RF 2017 République Française. And you can buy this. It's shaped like an egg, which is beautiful. And
I've never seen a coin shaped like an egg.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It's made out of solid gold. And if you're into collecting coins, maybe this is one that you want to have a look at. Today, it is time for us to look at bunnies and eggs, which is why we started off with this lovely coin. And we're going to actually give props to an organization that's doing some tremendous work. And we'll get to the bunnies. If you, just by the way, on that Guy Savoy coin, if you spend over 50,000 Rand on any collectible coin at the South African Gold Coin Exchange, you will get entry into their lucky draw to win one of those coins. It's worth over 60,000 Rand. It's 1 ounce of gold. It's nicknamed the Chicken and Egg. It is a gold collectible coin, a unique collaboration between the Monnaie de Paris, which is the French mint, and the French chef Guy Savoy. So he has maintained and gained multiple Michelin stars and is famous for serving elegant French cuisine on a fine dining environment. The coin alludes to French gastronomy and popular ingredients of the starred chef, the egg, the truffle, and the asparagus. The coin has a unique egg shape, as you might have seen. Entries close tomorrow, so you have to get your entries in today. You can find out more by going along to scoinshop.com, and you can find out there how to enter. But that's cool. If you spend over 50,000 Rand on any collectible coin, you'll get entry into their lucky draw, and you'll win that as well. So you invest 50 grand in collectibles, and then you win another one worth 60,000 Rand.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good deal to me. That's like my poker game last Friday. You know? It's good stuff. So our guest this morning is Ondi Berzin, and Ondi is at Observatory Johannesburg. She runs an animal rescue center for small farm animals such as goats, rabbits, pigs, tortoises, bunnies, chickens, ducks, and turkeys. So it's not really a collection, but I suppose she has a collection there. And it's always interesting to see what people are doing. And we want to give props to those people who are looking after all the animals. We spoke about animal rights just a minute ago. Ondi, very nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And yourself?
It's so nice to see you.
Good.
And well done on all the work that you do with animals. It's really, you know, we have such special people in South Africa who are taking care of humans and animals who are less fortunate than the rest of us and can't speak for themselves in the case of animals. So tell us how it all started with you at Bunny Hop Haven.
Okay, so I rescued two elderly bunnies. They were about 9 and 10 each. They were little boys. And I'd connected with another person who was setting up an eco farm in the Sandringham area of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the way, you know, he was having these animals there, and I said, no, you know what, I've been in education and I actually want to do something about these animals because they were in this wetland area. And then I decided as a side, I was teaching at the time. And I then took these elderly bunnies there, and he had a few other rabbits as well. And I just said to him, you know what, I'm going to take on these animals. I'm going to look after them. And the next thing, the Bunny Hop Haven came into existence. I found some old jungle gyms, and we repainted them and upcycled them. And I thought, you know, if children can have animals, and as young children, and they're shown how to care for them, then that we hope that they grow up as compassionate adults.
Right.
And the next thing, it all just happened. I mean, suddenly I had a call, can we take in these baby goats? So we took in some baby goats of 12 hours old.
Wow.
And then we just grew and grew.
Let's just start with elderly bunnies. How old is a bunny if it's considered elderly, Andy?
Similar to a dog, around 6 or 7 years. Well, not, but it depends on the breed. So it's anything from 6 years old.
Okay.
For an elderly bunny. And yeah.
I like what you said about kids, especially kids in urban environments, because they're not always as much in touch with, you know, domesticated animals or even wild animals, obviously, as people out in the country maybe. And there are lots of people who live in towns who have kids who live in an apartment. They can't have pets because they have limited space. Maybe they're not even allowed to have them. And there's something about kids, and especially cute little farm animals, and the connection that they make at that age. There's also obviously plenty of research that shows that people who are horrible to animals turn out to be psychopathic, nasty adults. But there must be a corollary that what you're saying is true, that young people who end up forging friendships and being in contact with cute little animals and learning to love them and learning to share space and time and love and care and food and all kinds of things with animals, they end up being better people. Is that your experience?
Most definitely, really, really seen it, and even it doesn't have to be a dog. Any kind of animal that a young person is exposed to have in their lives, really, they really do become caring as they grow older, and you see it in the children. And when parents are able to, when they're able to share with the children and show them how it is to look after animals, then it really, you know, it does show, you know, even in the statistics that the children are compassionate.
And obviously that counts even more in places like Johannesburg, where there maybe aren't as many many opportunities for kids to be around animals. So it's really nice that you're doing this in observatory. And you've been doing it for a long time. Your career before that was in education, right? And you still have a love and a care for helping people and educating them and making them better and smarter and more well-rounded human beings. So is there still something in the education field here with animals? I mean, do you teach people about these animals?
Yes, I do. Every now and again at the Haven, I will open up the Haven for children from littlies, from age 2 years old upwards till about 5, 6 years old, where I actually have sessions running where I actually teach children all about animals. It's very, very informal. The children will come and we talk about animals, and not just animals.
Andy? I think we may have just lost Andy.
We may have lost her, yeah.
Let's see if we can get her back. Andy Berzin, who is running that. I mean, it's a really sweet thing to do. Do you remember when you were a kid, the first time you got to play with a little fluffy animal, or the first time you got to see something that was really, really cute? I mean, you could even see it with kids, with pets, obviously, but all kinds of things. Like, oh, yeah, it's so sweet, and all of this stuff. I mean, half the reason that we like Easter is because it has to do with bunnies. If it was lizards, yeah, I don't think anyone would be as excited about Easter. You know?
I made that mistake, Gareth. I named my first cow. It grew up, and then my granddad slaughtered it.
Oh, man.
Most traumatizing ever. Because the cow was born, granddad's like, oh, you can name it. I name this cow. It grows up. I call it. It used to come right up to you. Like, oh.
No.
Had a great bond. And granddad's like, it's that time of the year.
It's time. Yeah, you see, that's the
first
problem.
Lesson.
You grow up on a farm, you learn very quickly which animals you are able to name and which ones you shouldn't. We'll talk in a minute about the things that Andy's doing and how you can perhaps help, because Congo Chris is asking, where in observatory is Andy, because I live in the neighborhood and I'd like to volunteer at some time. I think you just want to go and pet the cute animals, Chris. Let's not lie. Andy, thanks. I don't know what happened there with our connection, but it seems we're back on now. Do you take volunteers? Do you take donations? I mean, it must be expensive to run this place. Andy, can you hear us? I think maybe there's some load shedding or something happening there. We'll just wait for Andy to get her connection back up and running. I'm sure there are lots of people who would like to go and volunteer at a place like this. Here's some pictures quickly. Let me show you about what happens at the, it's such a cute name, the Bunny Hop Haven in Observatory. Yeah. So here's some of the bunnies. There's a very cute little, is that a bunny? Is that, that's
looks
a,
like a hamster.
It looks like, it looks
a hamster or a gerbil. What's
if,
thing
if it has its ears tucked right guinea back, pig. I don't think even then it's a bunny. It's definitely some kind of, it's a hamster. Here is a bunny, though. That's definitely a bunny. You can see the ears. And that's a very cute little bunny. It looks ginger with a white stripe up its nose. Here's another one eating some lettuce on a table, it looks like. That's a very fluffy bunny. Here are a couple of them in a little cage. Oh, man. Don't tell me that isn't cute. I don't care who you are. Everybody loves a bunny.
My heart. Right? Oh, that's exactly. Oh, that one.
Look at this bunny. Fluffy as all hell. Those cute little eyes.
I think we should cancel that one. It's rocking blackface, Gareth. Cancel.
You think that that one's a problem?
That was a problem.
Yeah, okay. And here are some more bunnies. We're not technically talking about a collection here, because it's not like Andy collects these bunnies because she wants to have the best bunny collection in Johannesburg. But what makes it cool, I think, is that she's doing something good here at the same time. She's first of all rescuing these animals who probably come from places where they're not wanted. They're probably threatened. They're probably not being treated very well in some cases. We hope not. But then she takes the bunnies, but she also creates an opportunity for other people, especially little kids, to come and see them. Don't tell me that isn't cute. And don't tell me that wouldn't be a fun thing to do today or any other day. Here's a whole bunch of bunnies running around at the Bunny Hop Haven in Observatory. And you can see they live in these little crates, and then they get let out on the straw, and there are all kinds of people running around, feeding them, picking them up, petting them, giving them lots of love. Looks like a lovely, lovely place for animals to be. Looks like lots of caring and sweet people who pitch in there as well to help.
What happened to your bunny, Gareth? Didn't you have a bunny in your backyard? And it got...
So, yeah, I did. I had a bunny, and then there was a different bunny for a while. There were two of them running around. And they weren't really my pets, Bhagavantu. They came into my garden somehow, and they lived here for a while, and then suddenly they weren't here anymore. And I think they were either eaten by something or they were taken by something. I don't know how. But I'm still sad about it. And remember, Gord used to come on and ask us for updates all the time of what was going on with the bunnies. So I don't know. They might still be around. They might have found a better place to live. Let me get Andy back on. I think we've got sound, but we don't have any video. Andy, can you hear us? Andy, can you hear us? Don't think so. Simpiwe, let me know when she's on and she can hear us again. Anyway, do they have a takeaway bunny chow, says Steve. Oh, Steve, really? That's just great. Conga Chris says, I had a rabbit once. After that, I grew a lifelong love for them. The best lunch I ever had. Oh, my God. People are terrible. I think Conga Chris has just canceled his pass as a volunteer at Andy's sanctuary. Let's see if we can get her back. Andy, are you there? Hello? Andy, can you hear us? No, I'm just hearing us. I'm not hearing her. All right. Well, what we're going to do is find out the details of all of this so that if you want to go along, you want to take your kids or you want to make a donation or you want to volunteer some time, you can go along to the Bunny Hop Haven in Observatory in Johannesburg. They're an animal rescue center for small farm animals. They don't just have bunnies, by the way. They also have goats, they have pigs, they have tortoises, they have chickens, they have ducks and turkeys, and they look after all of these animals. And Andy's there as the boss, and she makes sure that it runs properly. If you want to take your kids along to enjoy a day with all of these rabbits and all the other cute animals, you can do that. Here are some pictures of all of them, so you can have a look and see. And let me just remind you, in case you missed it, that this coin is up for grabs, this Guy Savoy coin, which is... is a beautiful work of art. It's worth about 60 grand and it is up for grabs. If you buy 50 grand's worth of investment coins, collectible coins at the SA Gold Coin Exchange, you will get an entry into their lucky draw to win this one. So if you spend 50, you might win another one that's worth 60. And it's a special chicken and egg gold collectible coin from the Monnaie de Paris, which is the French mint. So very, very cool. Something that you might want to add to your collection while we're doing Collectomania this morning. Let's try one more time. Andy, can you hear us? Andy? Hello? Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave that. That's not going to work anymore. So there's Andy, and gosh, very nice that we got to spend a little bit of time with her before her line cancelled out on us. It happens from time to time. There's nothing we can do about it. We will obviously put all the details for the Bunny Hop Haven onto cliffcentral.com a little later on, and you can go and find out more all about them. Also, don't forget the South African Gold Coin Exchange. You can go along to them at the Scoin Shop. That's SCOIN shop.com, scoinshop.com here in South Africa. All right.
Yeah.
Few other things we need to get to. This is unfortunate and bad news, but it's something that needs to be said. Apparently, we've just kicked into load shedding stage 4.
I think that's what hit Andy right there.
Yeah, this is breaking news. Stage 4 load shedding as of this morning means whatever you thought was going to happen with load shedding is now not just that. It's going to be added to. So get ready.
It's pretty telling that Eskom is not even reliable with their schedules. Last week, people in my friend circle were complaining about the schedules being off. I'm not supposed to have load shedding, but I'm load shedding. Power didn't come back. I'm like, yo, guys, it's at this point, one day it'll just shut off and we'll tell the story about when we had electricity. All those good old times when we had electricity.
Well, you know what bothers me about this? And, you know, it's both a problem and a solution. We've spoken about it a million times on the show, and I don't want to bore anyone with the same old thing. But people who can make a plan will make a plan. So if you can afford solar, or you can afford a generator, or even just a UPS that you can afford, you will buy that. So you will continue, if you can afford that, to live a reasonably normal life. You may be inconvenienced a little bit. You may have to, do without the heaters and the kettle and all of that stuff, but you'll still be able to run your office from home. And many people will be able to do that. Some people, rich people, will be able to put in full solar and batteries and all kinds of things, and they'll never feel load shedding. And there are already millions of South Africans who are in that position. But the poor South African will just get hit harder and harder by this. And the people who cannot afford this are going to become more and more separate from the ones who can. So we're going to end up with a more and more unequal society. And this is the legacy of what this whole Eskom thing is going to be, is it's going to make society less equal. And that's a problem. I mean, especially if you profess to be a government that cares about equality and you profess to be a government that's interested in raising the level of every South African's life. You can't say that with one voice and then with another voice allow Eskom to make the whole society even less equal. And that's precisely what's going to happen.
Just last year, Gwede, Minister of Energy or something like that, for me, it didn't come off as a thing to be proud of, but he was proud of that they finally powered all the parts of the Eastern Cape. I'm like, that's 20 years later, 20 plus years later, and you guys are flaunting that. That's a disgrace. That's embarrassing to anyone else. That's embarrassing. But he's like, oh, we finally done with like putting power lines in the most rural parts of the Eastern Cape. Like, that's terrible, dude.
Well, here's a message from Leanne Moll, who was going to be on the show with us this morning, actually. She sent this to me. She said, still no power. This was at 5:30 this morning. Still no power. All power banks to charge my devices have run dry. Having a memorial service this morning for refrigerated and frozen items. Because obviously, fridge and freezer are given up now. Mm. No warm water in the geyser. Sorry to be missing out on the bunnies. Have a good show. Peace and love. So I said, no stress. But she showed me a video of her power inverter, which has got nothing left on it either. So you know what?
Sure.
It's bad enough if you've got to deal with all the things that Leanne has to deal with. But imagine being in KZN, as Ntokozo is. Load shedding is no fun when there is no water as well, which is what he's got to deal with. Remember when Jacob said that load shedding will be a thing of the past by 2022? Well, it's 2022 and we still have load shedding. So, well,
I think Jacob is a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Is he?
No, absolutely. So this is all going on. So I think a lot of people are very frustrated by all of this morning, but we thought we'd just mention that's breaking news, that load shedding has gone to level 4 for people in South Africa and trapped without power this morning. Great news, everybody. So exciting to tell you that after such a nice thing with bunnies and everything else that makes you happy.
Warm and cuddly. Oh, it's terrible. Mm. The South African government has failed its people. Like, this is not a news flash or breaking news, but at every point, man, you just get tired of hearing it.
Yeah, and then when you get your bill for like electricity and water and you realize how expensive it is to get no power, like that's the irony of it.
It's still
right?
increasing. It's still increasing.
Exactly. Yeah, precisely. Anyway, let's leave that alone because it's just not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to help anybody to hear all these horrible stories. But I think there are a lot of other things that are going on in the country that people need to be paying attention to. There are these shack fires. There are the floods in KZN. But for many people, a weekend spent with family, a weekend spent in celebration of your faith, whatever it might be, because all the great three monotheisms had their celebrations over the weekend. And for many people, also the first weekend of what felt like proper winter. And I don't want to say that too soon because it's definitely still autumn and there were one or two good hours where the sun was out and it felt like a normal happy sunny day. And you're not ready yet to let go of summer, I know. But we are definitely in autumn, and you can feel it's getting colder. And for lots of people, this is the time where you get all cozy. You might have spent some time under the blankets. You might have spent some time just being lazy. If you did that, awesome. And I also need, because it's that time of year too, I need to now get some new series to watch. So if you have any ideas, because poor old Bagabantu was watching Star Wars from beginning to end again.
It's a classic.
Dude, it's a classic. I love Star Wars. I'm not going to criticize you, but maybe there's some new stuff that we should be checking out. If anybody has any ideas. Huh?
I don't know. The last new thing I watched was this show called Billions.
Love that
interesting
show.
Stuff.
That was a good show.
Interesting stuff. It's the peak of, well, it's one of the peak of television because Succession is, I think it's my number one show of all time. But Billions is also like, you see these people that are rich, Elon Musk types that are just taking over the world and they don't care about mundane problems.
No.
This guy gives a toast about losing 3.5 billion in crypto. I'm like, yo, dude, that's dollars. You just lost it. And he's like, it happens, just another afternoon.
Speaking of Elon.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that he's now ratcheted up his 9.2% of Twitter. He's now offering to buy the whole thing. Footstewarts, he's made an offer, a hostile takeover. He says he'll pay some 40...
Footstewarts.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like some
the most South African thing ever, Footstewarts.
Some 40 billion dollars or just over that for the whole of Twitter.
I think it's 42, but yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'll get all of it if you guys want. Because they offered him a board seat.
Right.
And he because said no. They wanted to cap him at 15. Because if you're on the board, you capped at 15 shares. He's like, I just want the entire thing. He refused the board seat and he wants the entire piece of Twitter. And Twitter's it hasn't made a profit ever since its creation.
No, so Twitter is not a profitable business, but he's doing this purely for the free speech that he believes Twitter is not responsible for.
He says
Twitter should be better at what they do. He says he can make them a better company. He's done that with a lot of other companies, so maybe we should believe him. Maybe we think that he's crooked. Who knows? Lots of people have different opinions. I think it would be great to see Twitter turned into a private company and to have all those people who are basically censoring the rest of us on Twitter taken out of their jobs. But I don't think it's going to affect. I don't think it's going to affect
Twitter
everybody.
Kind of reversed. Yeah, Twitter kind of reversed that censoring stuff after Jack Dorsey got booted out.
Well,
it's not as harsh because during the Trump era, Jack Dorsey was pro-Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Anything Republican on that platform was just like, bah, 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 slashed down.
You know, it would be interesting to see, and I love the fact that Elon Musk has given them no real options here, because if they don't accept his offer, then shareholders are going to lose a lot of money because it's a really good offer. Mm. So shareholders will benefit enormously from this offer. If they don't, they have to give reasons why they didn't.
Yeah, and because then he, you have to present
then,
that.
And then he, as the biggest shareholder, may actually cause some serious trouble and reduce the value of the shares and the stock so much that he can then get it at even cheaper than that. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Those are the theories that are going around.
Yeah.
Those are the theories that are going around. Also, Twitter, apparently, they want to, it's a business term, a poison pill.
Yeah.
So they're going to sell the shares cheaper than what Elon is offering to the people that
dilute,
are already...
Yeah, they'll dilute
the shares. They'll dilute their value, basically. I don't know how that's legal, but apparently it's allowed. So, yeah, just to make it less valuable to Elon. But I think Elon could just still buy it for cheaper.
I just think it's terrific. You know, what drives me crazy about all of this is that Twitter has become so important. So would you rather own, let's just think about this for a second. And everybody, once they start making money, they want a media business, right? Because then you can control other people's thoughts and you can
control the narrative.
Right, exactly. So would you rather own the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos of Amazon? Would you rather own the New York Times? Would you rather own the LA Times? Would you rather own, you know, the Mirror, the Daily Mail in London? Who knows? Would you own all those Australian newspapers, even the ones here in South Africa, which are pretty much worthless? But let's say, would you rather have them on one hand, all of them? Let's put all the newspapers together and say you can own them all, which used to be the idea of having complete control of the media.
Mm.
Or Twitter. Would you rather have CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, HBO, all of those different channels, or Twitter? The reality is that Twitter is a toilet, as Peter says. He says the toilet of social media. It really is. But for news, people rely on Twitter. Twitter's become the most important news source that there is. And you can complain like I have and say, well, I'm off Twitter. I mean, I've still got these 2 million followers on Twitter, and I don't tweet anymore. I'd hardly say anything because I don't want to go on there. I don't have it on my phone. What would happen if Elon Musk takes over and he just allows us to see what's going on? Because I know I've often been shadow banned just because I have opinions that maybe Twitter doesn't like. I've often seen that things that used to get huge numbers of retweets and that would appear on people's feeds just don't appear anymore because there's obviously an algorithm working in the background that is, it's suspect. They don't tell us what they're doing, but some people are pushed up and some people are pushed down. Now, surely if you say your say on Twitter and we're all equal, we should all get the same amount of coverage or the same amount of sharing. Now, if Elon sorts that out, that might bring me back to Twitter in a big way. I'd be excited to be back. I'd want to be doing things there again. But at the moment, there's no real value in me being on there. He's also, according to Conga Chris, he said he will hedge some Tesla shares. His 9% is a pump and dump joker up his sleeve. Twitter will suffer, not Tesla. Yeah, that's exactly right. So we'll have to see what happens.
But Elon, he does so much. He's busy digging holes in LA.
Dude.
He's building flamethrowers. He's also Mars missions and all of this stuff.
He is a proper genius. I mean, whether you like him or not, you don't have to like, and he's a very weird dude. And his choice in women is, leaves a lot to be desired. He's a very strange guy, but I just cannot help liking him. I saw an interview with him where he was talking about this. And
With his strange accent that you can't place.
Right. And they talked to him about, what is your plan B if, Twitter doesn't accept your offer? And he looks away and he smiles. He's like jerky. He's like a nerd. He's very strange. And he goes, and he smiles. He goes, yeah, we've got a plan B. We've got a plan B. Yeah. Very strange dude. I love him. I think it's going to be fun. Get on this train and let's ride. Anyway, we will see you tomorrow morning. Bakabantu and I will be back with Simpiwe tomorrow. And have an excellent Tuesday. Don't work too hard. It's a four-day week. A lot of people won't be at the office. On the other hand, if you do work hard now, maybe you can get ahead and all those people who've taken time off will be right back there in the dirt when you're going back to your normal.
Guys.
What's
Go
that?
Pet a bunny. Yeah, pet a bunny this week.
Yeah, go to Andy's Bunny Hop Haven in Observatory, Johannesburg. That's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow. Have an excellent day. Cheers. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.